As you're finding your place there, if you'll get your Bible turned to Genesis chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17, and we'll begin with those first two verses. But before we do, I want to read you something. It's kind of an abbreviated few bullet points about the life of George Mueller. And he was a very well-known preacher, evangelist. He lived from 1805 to 1898 and had significant ministry over in England and Scotland. And he was just a powerful minister of God. But around 1836, the Lord put on him and his wife's heart to formally start an orphanage. And they started an orphanage right out of their home. And I want to read you something out of Wikipedia because it has to do with what we're sharing and ministering about tonight. It says, the work of George Mueller and his wife with orphans began in 1836 with the preparation of their own rented home at 6 Wilson Street in Bristol. And they accommodated 30 girls. They started with 30 girls. Soon after, three more houses in Wilson Street were furnished, not only for the girls, but also for boys and younger children, and eventually increasing capacity for children who could be cared for to 130. So they went from starting with 30 in their own home, they're at 130 shortly after that. In 1845, growth continued. The neighbors complained about the noise and disruption to the public utilities, so Mueller decided that a separate building designed to house 300 children was necessary, and in 1849, at Ashley Down, Bristol, the new home opened up. The architect commissioned to draw up the plans asked if he might do so gratuitously. And by May 26 of 1870, there were 1,722 children were being accommodated in 5 homes. Amen. And so it goes on and on as his ministry grew. But let me just skip down to another part. It says, through all this, Mueller, he never made requests for financial support, nor did he go into debt. And even though the 5 homes cost more than 100,000 pounds. Many times he received unsolicited food donations only hours before they were needed to feed the children, further strengthening his faith in God. Mueller was a constant, he was constant in prayer and prayed that God would touch the hearts of donors to make provisions for the orphans. Now, here's what I want to get to. For example, on one well-documented occasion, thanks was given for breakfast when all the children were sitting at the table, even though there was nothing to eat in the house. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, he sat the children down and they had nothing to eat, but he said the grace and gave thanks anyway. Now you gotta have faith to sit down at a table with no food, with the mouths of hungry children, and you give thanks to God and there's no food in the house. And you go ahead and say the grace anyway with the children seated at the table. That's what George Mueller did. Okay, listen to what happened. So thanks was given for breakfast when all the children were sitting at the table, even though there was nothing to eat in the house. And as they finished praying, the baker knocked on the door with sufficient fresh bread to feed everyone. And the milkman, he gave them plenty of fresh milk because his cart broke down right in front of the orphanage. And Mueller goes on to say this. He goes on to say this about the goodness of God and the abundance of God's provision. He wrote, a brother in the Lord came to me this morning, and after a few minutes of conversing, he gave me 2,000 pounds for furnishing the new orphan house. And now I'm able to meet all of the expenses. In all probability, I will even have several hundred pounds more than I need. The Lord not only gives as much as is absolutely necessary for his work, but he gives abundantly. And this blessing filled me with inexplicable delight. And he had given me the full answer to my prayers. And so he goes on there. Isn't that a powerful story about the goodness of God? God is a God of abundance. We're in Genesis 17. Let's read the first two verses. Genesis 17, verse 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you. And I will multiply you exceedingly. It goes on talking about how Abraham fell on his face. But God identifies himself to Abraham as God Almighty, El Shaddai. And the translation of El Shaddai is the God, come on, help me out, who is more than enough. And tonight, we're speaking on living in the overflow with El Shaddai. That's the title of this message. Living in the overflow with El Shaddai. He is, after all, the God who identified himself, not as El Cheapo, not as the God who's a little less than enough, not the God who barely gets along. He's identified himself as the God who's more than enough. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? If he wanted himself to be identified with Cheapo, El Cheapo, he would have said, Abraham, I'm El Cheapo. I'm the God who can't meet your need. That's not what happened. He said, I'm the God who's more than enough. And by the time he said that, he had already made Abraham rich. He had already given him. You read Genesis over in 14 and 15. He had already prospered Abraham. And the Bible says he had already made him rich. Look at 13, Abraham, 13:2, Abraham was rich in livestock, silver and gold. 13:5, Abraham had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together. He had already blessed Abraham materially. But at 99 years old, he shows up and he says, I'm the God who's more than enough. And he had made a promise to Abraham that nations would come from him. And he had told Abraham and sworn by his own name that he was going to bring nations from him. And at 99, Abraham was waiting on the promise. And God showed up and said, hey, I'm not the God who fails to keep a promise. I'm not the God who forgets about what he said. I'm not the God who fails to honor his word. I'm the God who honors his word. I'm the God who's more than enough. And he told me to come here tonight and to tell you that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your need is, he's the God who's more than enough. And if you will trust him and if you will believe him, he will come through for you just like he always done. He's never failed one time to honor his promise, never failed one time to honor his word, never failed one time to come through on something that he said. Hey, if he said he'll do it, he'll do it. And the question is, will we believe it? Because it shall come to pass. And so he told Abraham, you can count on me. I am the God who's more than enough. Go with me to Psalms 46, Psalms 46, if you will. We're talking about living in the overflow with El Shaddai. Oh, that's our Heavenly Father. He's identified himself as not just a God who wants us to barely get by. He's more than able to meet our needs. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. He told me to come here and tell you he's the God who's more than enough. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of who he is. Amen. And so here, Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But, you know, I like this verse in the Passion Translation. Do we have the Passion Translation? Could you put up Psalm 46, 1? It might be 1 and 2 in the Passion Translation if we have that. I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation, whether or not, there we go. He says, you're a proven help in the time of trouble. You're more than enough and always available when I need you. I like that. I said, the psalmist said, you're a proven help in the time of trouble, and you're more than enough, and you're always available whenever I need you. I said, God will be whatever you call him. And if you don't call him more than enough, he won't be that in your life. Oh, but if you're looking for El Shaddai tonight, God said, if you'll call me El Shaddai, no matter what it looks like, I dare you to call him El Shaddai when you're broke. Because you won't stay broke. If you'll call him El Shaddai, you won't stay broke long. I said, I dare you to call him El Shaddai when you got bills that are due. I dare you to call him El Shaddai when you have tuition payments that are due. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I dare you to call him El Shaddai when your rent is due or your mortgage is due. And no matter what it looks like, you say, you are still El Shaddai. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what I'm facing. You are the God who's more than enough.
Hey, if you'll call him that, that's who he'll be to you. He is the God who is more than enough. And he's always revealed himself as the God who doesn't want us just to get by. He doesn't want us just to barely get by. I say, God, if we'll believe him, if we'll exercise faith, he wants us to do exceedingly abundantly and above. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Somebody yell out, El Shaddai. He's the God who's more than enough. Yes, he is. Luke chapter 5, verse 3. And he got into a boat. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deeper water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night. We caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. And when they had when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. You know what happened there? They went on and said, they found out that God, he's El Shaddai. They had fished all night, didn't catch anything. And then they acted on the word that Jesus gave. And when they acted on the word, they found out that God is still El Shaddai. And if he was ever El Shaddai, he's still El Shaddai right now tonight. I said, if he was El Shaddai in the Old Testament, he's El Shaddai in the New Testament. If he was El Shaddai in the book of Acts, he's El Shaddai in your life right now. And the question is, what you and I believe, what we're willing to do. And see, the Lord, I felt impressed in this message tonight, just to help us. If somebody says, well, I know that he's El Shaddai, but I haven't been experiencing that in my life. And I have some needs I'm believing God for, and I'm not sure what's going on. I want you to check up on a few things. If you haven't experienced him as El Shaddai lately, the God who's more than enough, I'm going to give you just a few tips tonight, just a few things to check up on, because God told me to tell you, listen, he wants you to be fired up. He wants you to be full of joy. He wants you to be releasing your faith out of your heart, coming up on your tongue, out of your mouth, calling him the God who's more than enough. God gets glory when his children stand, even in the face of adversity, and call him the God who's more than enough. George Mueller in his breakfast prayer saying the grace, having orphan kids who are hungry and kids gathered around the table expecting. And he led those kids in prayer, giving thanks to God. And someone could have said, thank him for what? Those kids could have said, thank him for what? There's nothing on the table. Thank him for what? We don't smell any breakfast being cooked. Thank him for what? There's no bread here. Oh, but the Bible says we walk by and not by. Yes. And so we have to exercise faith, because it is impossible to please him without faith. And George Mueller knew that. And he sat down and said the grace. Glory to God. And then the baker showed up with fresh bread. But I like it when he said the milkman, he hadn't planned to stop, but his cart broke down right in front of the orphanage. So he just gave him all the milk. Yeah, he's the God who's more than enough. I remember Pastor E.V. Hill, he's in heaven now, but I remember one of his sermons, he was preaching how his mama, they grew up real poor. E.V. Hill grew up in the South, very, very poor. And, he said, we picked cotton and peanuts and we just held on by faith. And he said, as a young Baptist, he knew that God was a healer even as a Baptist boy. He said he would get sick and he'd hear his mama praying in the other room, God, now you got to heal him. He's all I've got. I need him. He's all I've got. He's got to work the field. And he said he would go to bed sick and wake up healed. He said his mama was exercising faith. And he said so many days they'd be hungry. And he said his mama would go to calling God the midnight rider. And he said they wouldn't have any food. And he'd be asking, what are we going to eat? And his mama would say, the midnight rider's coming. He said, well, mama, we don't have any food. Well, don't worry about it. The midnight rider's going to show up. He said, well, mama, where are we going to get food from? Don't worry about it. The midnight rider's coming. And he said they would go to bed. And when they would wake up, there'd be sacks of groceries on their porch. Yeah. I said, the midnight rider. I said, the God who's more than enough. I said, the God of the overflow. Over in Luke chapter 6, you're in chapter 5. Look at Luke chapter 6. Let's go over to verse 38. Famous verse there. We all love this verse. Thank God for this verse of scripture in the Word. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running out because there's not enough. Does it say that? Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Let me read that again. I'm sorry. Give and it will be given to you, and they will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. I said, God, he's not just the God of enough. He's the God of more than enough. He has always identified himself as the God who's more than enough. There is a principle here at the bottom of this verse. Did you catch that there? It says, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Uh-oh. That sounds like we have something to do with it. That sounds like, you know, because if you think about a faucet, sometimes people say, Well, Lord, I wish the Lord would turn the faucet on. Turn on the faucet of overflow. Let the faucet of overflow run over me. Wait a minute. You better turn that faucet on. Because right here, the Bible said, by your standard of measure, whatever standard of measure you're using, that's the same standard of measure that's going to be measured out to you in return. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, when God moves upon you to give of your time, of your talent, you know, thank God for all of our parking lot workers. They come here, they get here early, they set out cones, they stand out there in the heat, in the cold, they'll stand out there in the rain and direct traffic and keep people from getting hit, and they'll stand out there service after service giving their time to God. Yeah. Thank God for all the people who work in the nursery, who change babies' diapers and who minister to kids and who give them the word. Thank God for all of our youth ministers and staff and all the volunteers who help out and among the Rhema youth and just phenomenal people who give back of their time. I said, Pastor sent our ushers. Thank God for all of our ushers who come service after service, and our camera workers and all of our greeters and people who serve the Lord with time and energy. And the Bible says there is an anointing to do it, and he gives strength to do it if we'll yield to him. But the point is, listen, the measure that we measure out is the same measure that we receive by. And if you found yourself lately not receiving, even though he's the God of abundance, he's always been, he is right now. And if you say, hey, I checked up on myself, but I'm not receiving. I know I'm not receiving at the level that I should be. Check up on this area. Are you obeying God when he's telling you to give? You say, well, brother, that's just talking about money. Oh, it's not just talking about money. It's talking about anything. Listen, you could give your time. You might be able to make bread for somebody. God may tell you, you may have an ability to make cakes, and God may tell you, hey, bless so-and-so with a cake. Take a cake over there and bless so-and-so. But our ability to receive is connected to our willingness to give. A preacher done lost all his amens. I had a big, strong amen when I talk about the God of abundance. The moment I turned to Luke 6:38, I done lost every amen. We are connected to our own blessing. And so certainly financially, this the same thing applies financially. And we can't rob God financially and expect to walk in the blessing. When the Bible said, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it'll come back on every wave. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. We can't rob God and expect God to bless us with overflow. You want to walk in the overflow. You want to live in abundance with the God who's more than enough. Hey, pay your tithes. Start with paying your tithes and giving offerings. So I wish I had a bigger amen. And some people, their problem is their own willingness to give. Their own willingness to give is can be a problem. Go with me. Let's look in 2 Corinthians. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. Check up on these areas. He's the God. He told me to tell you, to remind you, he's the God who's more than enough. But sometimes we need to just check up on ourselves. This is a message of encouragement, not condemnation. Hey, we all need to check up on ourselves, because God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think.
But it's according to the power that works within us.
Where did I tell you to go? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verses 7 and 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 and 8. I'll read it New American Standard, and then if we have this one in the Passion Translation, we can look at it there as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. Each one must do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And as it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. You know, the Bible says right there, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. And you know what that means? That we all have to listen to God. We've got to obey God. Amen. As it concerns giving, we have to obey the Lord. Now, where the Lord's already spoken, then we just need to do what he said. He told us to pay our tithes. Your brother won't get an amen saying that. But he already told us what to do there, so we just have to obey there. But as we're giving offerings, listen, as we're giving offerings, we need to listen to the Lord and find out what the Lord would have us to do. And the Bible says each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Some people, their problem is their attitude. A brother then lost every amen again. Some people, their attitude does in their faith. God is trying to get something to you in abundance, but your attitude is killing your harvest. Somebody said, well, I'm giving. Yeah, but your attitude is killing it while you giving it. You putting down grass seed and Roundup at the same time. Your attitude. And Isaiah 119 said, hey, if we be willing and obedient, we'll eat what? The good of the land, right? And so he said, each one must do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. Sometimes somebody said, God loves a tearful giver. No, it doesn't say that, does it? And somebody said, well, maybe God loves a fearful giver. It doesn't say that. I'll even go this far. God, it doesn't say God loves an earful giver. You say, what is an earful giver? It's a person who gives, and then they keep giving you an earful every time about what they gave. They keep telling you. They give you an earful of it. God loves a cheerful giver, and he's able to make all grace abound to you so that always. Look at this in the Passion Translation. In the Passion Translation, it says this, you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way, he will make you overflow with abundance. Woo! I said, that's a powerful verse of scripture there. Let's go over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at that blockbuster scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Well, guess what? You know, the Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But it does say according to the power that works within. What power? Well, one aspect of that power that works within us is our faith. Wish I had a bigger amen. Matthew 21:22. All things, whatever you ask in prayer, what? Believing you shall receive. I think a lot of times people think the word says, whatever you ask in prayer, you receive. But the Bible says, whatever you ask in prayer, believing you receive. And the implication is, whatever you ask in prayer within the parameters of the word. A brother can't get no amen teaching like this. Whatever you ask in prayer within the parameters of God's word, believing that you'll receive. I said, amen. I said, when we meet the conditions, abundance and overflow will break out. We don't have to chase it down. The blessings of God, Deuteronomy 28, will track us down. We don't have to chase any blessings. God said the blessings would chase us. Praise God. And when we respond in faith, even during times of adversity, even when it's challenging, even when, you know, you might need a job. Oh, but if you'll call him to God who's more than enough. I said, amen. I said, if you'll call him the God who's more than enough. And then if you'll put boots on the ground. You understand what I mean by that? Get yourself up and get out and fill out applications or do them online or however you're supposed to do it. But put boots on the ground and acting on your faith. I said, amen. You won't be jobless very long because he's the God. He's the God who's more than enough. Let's go to our final scripture here. We're in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're talking about living in the overflow with El Shaddai. Living in the overflow with El Shaddai. Yeah. Sometimes we have to check up on our giving. Sometimes we have to check up on our attitude. If your attitude hadn't been right, if you got a stinking attitude, then hey, you need to get rid of that. Just repent. Just repent. Put it under the blood. Amen. I said amen. And don't take the bait of Satan. Don't get offended. Don't let anybody get you offended for any reason. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I remember years ago, there was a wonderful man, and he was a part of the congregation, and he, oh man, just a great, great man. Love him to pieces. And he bought a bunch of suits for the staff, and oh man, he just took the staff out, bought the staff bunches of suits, but when it was time to go out with me, I would be busy, or he was busy, I don't remember, but we never got to go out. And then, you know, different things happened, and I think he's in heaven today. But the thing is, we never got to go out, and he bought everybody a bunch of suits, but he didn't buy me a suit. And I had a thought come across my mind. He didn't buy me no suit. You know what I did? I cast that down so quick in the name of Jesus. I had learned by then, oh no, Satan, I'm not taking that bait. I'm not taking that bait. That's a trick. That's a ploy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The enemy's trying to sour your attitude, and it's a trick from the pit of hell. He'll try to get you mad at your church. He'll try to get you mad at your husband. He'll try to get you mad at your kids. He'll try to get you mad at your wife. He'll try to get you mad at your preacher. He'll try to get you mad at your postman. If you'll take the bait. But don't take his bait. And I said, oh, no, no, no. We got busy. We got tied up. And I just cast the thought down. Didn't have any more thoughts about it. I say maybe a year went by. And somebody came to see me. And they said, you know, the Lord told me I was supposed to do something for you. And so they said, look, the Lord told me I'm supposed to buy you a suit, a shirt, a tie. And I said, oh, no, I'm good. I got all kind of clothes. I'm good. And so the person said, no, please, listen, the Lord told me. I said, no, 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 I'm good. They said, well, listen, please let me honor the Lord. I said, no, no, no. And then the Lord finally told me to shut up. And so he said, man, he said, I can't tell you how this has burned in my heart. The Lord, I don't know why. He said, the Lord just told me. He didn't know any, not a thing. He said, the Lord just told me. And man, and so he said, go on down there. And he said, I already talked to the guy. I talked to the owner of this store. He said, you go on down there and buy that suit. And he said, and then you buy the shirt and buy the tie. The Lord told me to do all that. And so I went on down there and I bought the suit. And so then he said, okay, brother, did you get the suit? I said, I got it. I'm good. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. And he said, did you get the shirt and the tie? I said, no, I didn't need no shirt. I got plenty of shirts and ties. He said, no, the Lord told me shirt, tie, suit. I said, no, I'm not going back down there. He said, I'm going down there. Then I'm going to pick something out for you. And I don't know what you like. I'm just going to pick it out. So I went on down there and got the shirt and tie. Why did I tell you that? Don't let offense get a hold of you. You're going to rob your own blessing. You're going to drink the poison and expect the other person to die. Paul finally says in our last scripture here in Philippians, he says this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. At 19, he says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And he highlights how they gave to him and they helped him. And he says, I've learned how to be content. And whatever circumstance I found myself, I learned the secret of being content. It is this, I can do all things through Christ
who gives me strength. Tonight, my friend, we serve the God of abundance. We serve the God who's more than enough. And if you'll trust him, he'll prove it to you. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored in this time that we've had to share from your mighty word. And we thank you now, Father. We trust you now through your word and your Holy Spirit to confirm in each heart as application is needed of the word tonight. And Father, we thank you that you are. We call you the God who's more than enough. You're the God who meets every need. You're the same God you've always been yesterday, today, and forever. We honor you and bless you and reverence you. Help your people tonight. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.